Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman. In this special episode, I'll be talking to Lewis Hobbs, who supports Sheffield United. He's on to give us the opposition view of this match between Fulham and Sheffield United. We have much to discuss, but before I go on any further, I have to welcome my guest to the show. Lewis, welcome to Cottage Talk.
Yeah, hi, Russ. How are you doing?
I am doing great. Lewis is also a guest fairly frequently on the Championship Roundtable, and I've had the pleasure of doing it with him, so I thought he'd be perfect to talk about with this match. So, Lewis, let's go right to the beginning. Let's get into this match. I look forward to getting your thoughts on your team and also on Fulham. So let's just talk about your season so far for Sheffield United. Just overall, give me a view. You're currently eighth. What are your thoughts?
Well, for the majority of Blades fans that I've talked to, there's two viewpoints which we take. You have the first where we've got to take into consideration that this is our first year back in the Championship after 6 years down in League One. It got to the point where we never thought we was going to get out of the division.
Right.
And before this season, I said to everyone, I'll take, if anything above 16th, then I think that's us overachieving. So for us to be sitting in eighth place, it's an amazing season, really. But strangely, me and a lot of my friends, we feel very disappointed sitting in eighth due to the solid start to the season we had, where at one point we was top of the table after just beating Leeds away, and it couldn't get much better for us. So through these past couple of months, seeing a drop in form, I kind of feel more disappointed than happy, but that shouldn't what it should be like, because at the end of the day, like I said, after 6 years in League One, we're majorly overachieving in this league. And when you put into perspective how much we've spent compared to other teams like your Wolves, like your Fulham, Aston Villas, we shouldn't be up here, and we are having an amazing season.
You are. You should be very happy with your season, and you have a shot at the playoffs. You definitely have a shot, and you're a team to be respected. I respect Sheffield United, and I watch back our match from earlier in the season, and it basically gave me a sick stomach watching that one back, but it was fun to watch because it really was a very interesting match. But you and I had talked about on the Championship Roundtable, because I think this is a good part to really get into talking about this, because you're talking about your season. Once Paul Coutts went out injured, your season changed. Talk a little bit about his loss, how it affected your season.
Yeah, well, if you don't mind me going into the game against Fulham.
Sure, go ahead.
The game against Fulham was our first game without Coops. So in essence, you kind of caught us at the best possible position, because we just lost possibly our best player of that season. So the morale dropped in the squad. There was a lot of fans was unsure on what was going to happen, who was going to replace Coops. And yet it's evident that we have dropped in form since losing Coutts. And like I said on the Championship pod, looking into the stats of it, going forward, John Lundstram, who has been Paul Coutts' replacement for the majority of the season, obviously we've brought in Lee Evans since in January, right, who took up that role more. But just solely looking at John Lundstram, his stats actually look better on paper than Paul Coutts, which is strange because we haven't been getting the wins. But he's had a better passing accuracy, completing more passes per game, created more chances for the team. So it's definitely, we need to be looking more at the morale side of the squad and how it affected, not because obviously we've got a really good strong player in John Lundstram, but why are we not winning these games? Why are we not taking our chances like we did when we did have Paul Coutts in the team? And it'll be interesting to see when Paul Coutts does come back, whether it's, I think if we do get the playoffs, we might have Paul Coutts back for like the final two games of the season and maybe the playoffs. Wow. So it'll be very interesting to see whether we pick back up once Paul Coutts gets back into that squad and we start replicating those performances from earlier in the season.
Lewis, like we talked about on the Championship pod, it was an adjustment period. It just took your club a little while to adjust, but now you're in a decent run of form. Again, if I look at your run of form, you've won three and you lost two in your last five matches. So let's just go there right now. Let's talk about how things have solidified from that issue that you had in the middle of the season to where you are now. 3-2 is not bad at this point. So let's talk about what's been going on lately.
It's definitely not bad. And like you said, these past three wins that we have seen are three of the best performances we've had this year. Obviously, including in our last five,
right.
A 3-0 loss against Wolves, which that game we was just totally outclassed. And again, the top of the table Wolves, it was to be expected. And I didn't really come away from that game disappointed because it was kind of expected. We just didn't take our chances and we let them run the game. And we did just get beat by the better team. Then you go on to Leeds at home where we got a 2-1 victory and we outplayed them for the entirety of the game. They got a goal back hitting us on the counter, which we're letting goals in on the counter-attack way too much this season, which definitely needs fixing, but I'm not sure if we've got enough time to fix that. Moving on again to QPR, which earlier in the season was one of the tougher games. We lost at Loftus Road and struggled to break the side down, so getting another win there. But the Hull loss, the game after, is really where it hit us as fans, and especially the manager, because against former boss Nigel Atkins, which personally in my time at supporting the club has gave me the worst time supporting the club, where we finished in 11th, I think, in League One. It was just an appalling season. So, and go into that game losing, and I can honestly say that 1-0 loss against Hull was our worst performance of the season.
I watched that.
Yeah, single-handedly, that was the worst performance of the season. And you got it from the reaction from Chris Wilder. He came out and a lot of people were saying that he spat the dummy out, and because he was so disappointed, saying, yeah, that's us done now for the season if my players are going to perform like that. And it's very truthful and honest from him, because that performance just wasn't good enough. There was maybe one or two players on that field which looked like they wanted to play for Sheffield United. And it really wasn't good enough. But getting that reaction from Wilder was shown in the game against Reading.
Yep.
Because we needed a big reaction. We needed the team to prove that they want to stay. They want to challenge for top six. And we got that, luckily, in one of the better performances of the season. We dominated the midfield. We pushed and pressed forward, which is what we're good at, having our centre-backs join the attack. And we did that against Reading, getting a good 3-1 victory. So hopefully we can build up against that win against Reading onto Fulham.
Okay, very good. And a mark of a good team, Lewis, I always say, is a team that can bounce back from a bad loss. And you've done that. And that's a credit to the players, but also a credit to Chris Wilder, like you mentioned. And let's talk a little bit about him, because I rate him pretty highly. I think he's done an excellent job bringing you up from League One and really getting you in a nice place. Like I said, where you are right now, eighth, you lost probably your best player, like you mentioned, and still to be where you are, I think it's an accomplishment. And Chris Wilder deserves a good amount of praise for that.
Yeah, he does. He does. And but with a lot of fans, you'll hear this. Before anything, before him being the manager, before him being the main role model at the club, he's a fan, first and foremost. And I think that's what you get from him. You don't just get the boss man. You don't just get the manager, the coach. You get a fan. And you see that passion on the sidelines. There'll never be a moment where Chris Wilder will sit down in his bench and not be bothered about the game. We could be winning a game 4-0 and he's on the touchline. He's clapping his team on. And I think that's why he's seen so much success. But not to take away his brilliant tactician. And through my time of supporting Sheffield United, he's got to be the best manager that I've seen. Because you look at our team, and like I've said before, we haven't spent a lot. And you look at some of our key players this season. Paul Cooks earlier on, considered a Derby reject. Mark Duffer, considered a Birmingham reject. Leon Clark, one of the most cultured journeymen in English football, who really has only had like short, good spells of excellence. And he's turned those three players, I'm forgetting others as well, but sure, those three players who have been considered rejects throughout their entire career, and he's turned them into top-end championship players, which are the reason why we're so high in the table. And you also need to take into consideration, he's kind of just created his own system. We play a three at the back, but in essence, it's only a one at the back. We practically play one centre-back in either Richard Stearman or Jake Wright, with the other two centre backs practically full backs. They're charging up the pitch that often, and that's the thing with Wilder. He's gave us like just such refresh of football, something we're not used to. And because what the stereotypical English manager is, sit back, grind out results, but Wilder's not like that.
Not at all. Not what I've seen.
Free flowing, attacking manager, always looking to play positive football. And that's what he doesn't get enough credit for, because he plays the football the right way, as you say.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I enjoyed watching what I watched back today. I watched a bunch of video and I watched our match back, and that's going to lead me now to talk about what happened back in November. Let's take a look at that, because I think there's a good amount that we can get out of it. What's interesting, when I watched back at it, I saw all of our faults, Fulham's faults, and I saw some of the things that we actually did right. And we can talk about that definitely as we go through this, and also things that your club did right and we're also vulnerable against, because obviously we scored 5, you scored 4. So
yeah,
there's good and bad to take out of this match. And players that stand out for me were Ryan Sessegnon and Che Ojo for Fulham. They were very dangerous on the break. They ripped you apart at times, but then I can look at the flip side and look at how Leon Clark did a job on Fulham's defense. So there are two ways to look at it. That's what's interesting about this. But what you just said, free-flowing football, that's what I saw, and that's what I think we're going to see on Tuesday. I want to get your thoughts, what you got out of that match back in November.
Yeah, so going back to like the Paul Coote situation, it was the first game without him. And obviously, I said, looking at the stats comparing him to John Lundstrom, on a defensive standpoint, I think that's where Paul Coote was really outstanding. Not for him being the one going and getting those last-ditch tackles, making those clearances, but he was our vice-captain. And I think when Billy Sharp's up front in a bit of a no-man's landing, he can't propel his thoughts onto the rest of the team. Paul Coote was that man in midfield which organised the defence and was there to tell Carter Vickers, who played that game, no longer with us at Ipswich, obviously, but he was the one to tell those young defenders, Jack O'Connell, Carter Vickers, you need to be there. And I think that's what especially our defenders missed, because if you look back at two of the Ryan Sessegnon goals, Carter Vickers, who's playing centre-back, and Chris Basham playing right wing-back, right mid, whatever we want to call it.
Right.
They was caught out in position twice. And I'm not taking, I think that was the game where people really started to look at Ryan Sessegnon and thinking, this guy's positioning is unreal, and which it is.
Yep.
For a 17-year-old, his positioning and just his know-how and know-where to be in the box at the right time is absolutely phenomenal. And there was just two parts of the game where Carter Vickers is caught out of position, Chris Basham's caught out of position, he's there ready to kill us. And I think that's what we definitely missed. But and then I mentioned this at the Championship podcast as well. Before the Fulham game at home, we'd have only conceded 2 goals before that game, which is an incredible stat, thinking about it. We'd only conceded 2 goals, and then Fulham come to town and we concede 5 in one game. Yeah. So obviously something was really wrong with that performance. But yeah, I think that overall, that was just a game of really good attacking and really, really bad defending, as you saw. But yeah,
on both sides. Not taking it, both sides. Yeah,
but on both sides, yeah. We got to see the best of Leon Clark, and that's definitely a game where people, because obviously you got the victory, I think a lot of people went away and talked about Ryan Sessegnon, forgetting the fact that Leon Clark's also got a hat-trick and was just as a nuisance to your back four as Ryan Sessegnon was to our defence. So maybe we'll get onto it later, but if Leon Clark is fit, maybe he can be the same nuisance as he was in that game.
Well, we shall see, and we'll be talking about that in a little bit. One player that was in the match that will be in the match this time around was Dave Button was in goal. We've now moved to Marcus Bettinelli, and he's done a great job since he's been given that job. And so that's something that's different. It'll be interesting to see. It's funny because I'm thinking I'm watching this match, Lewis, and I'm watching Che Ojo have a great match along with Sessegnon. But I don't even know if Ojo is going to play in this match. And he played so well against your club. It could be Florida Ite because Savicio Jokanović does seem to favor Florida Ite. So this is something that stood out for me as well. How different Fulham were back then, and obviously how different Sheffield United were, because like you said, you were in this transition phase coming off of the situation with Paul Coutts, really trying to figure out how everything was going to work, and we took advantage of that. So that's what makes this matchup coming up very interesting, because I think these are two teams, Lewis, that are different than what they were back then.
Definitely. I definitely agree. We're totally different teams, even with the players which we've all got. It's we didn't have Paul Coutts back then, but we've now got Lee Evans. Yep. We've now got Ryan Leonard, who we can put in midfield. And I think that's going to be going to be the key area, because I think both teams, we both heavily on our midfielders.
Yep.
And without John Fleck for us, without Tom Kearney, Johansson for you, we're not going to get the best out of our attackers.
Right. No, I totally agree with that. And you talked about your additions. We have two additions. I've already mentioned Button going out and putting Bettinelli, but the two additional players in January that have already made an impact have been Matt Target at left back, and then, of course, Alexander Mitrovic up front, and he gives us a completely different look. So I'll be curious to see how Chris Wilder tries to deal with him, because he really can hold up the ball, and we are now playing differently than we did the last time you saw. So it's going to be an interesting chess match, but I still think it's going to be a pretty open game, a really good brand of football. That's what I'm expecting, because I think it's two teams that want to attack, and I expect we're going to see that. So it should be very interesting. All right. Let's now talk about Sheffield United a little bit more. Let's talk about, say, your key players for this upcoming match. You've been naming several. Who would be your key players?
I think just naming a few is definitely John Fleck and Lee Evans, our central midfielders. I think if you want to get any points away from Fulham, you've got to compact that midfield, and you've got to try and counter that midfield three, which McDonald, Johansson and Kearney on the day is probably the best three in the division. So I think John Fleck and Lee Evans have got a massive role to do, because if we can't match those in midfield, the game's just going to take completely out of our hands, and you're going to have a lot of possession and we're going to be chasing the game. So John Fleck's got a massive role to play, because he's got a lot of running. He's got a lot of running in him, and he'll be able to keep up with the intensity which you bring to us. But it's just whether we drop someone else back in midfield to help those two, because we don't want to be in a 2v3 situation.
Right.
But the key player, which it is, and which it's always going to be when fit, is it looks like this is going to be David Brooks' first game back. And we've missed David Brooks more than, I personally think we've missed him more than we've missed Paul Coutts, because Paul Coutts is a player which you can match, and maybe we can't get a player as good as him right now, but we can get a similar. David Brooks brings something to us which no other team in the league has. He's direct, he's fast, he's skillful, he can finish, he can create. And I think off the bench, he'll be the difference on whether we lose, draw, or win.
Interesting. Because I just want to mention that David Brooks, James Wilson, and Ricky Holmes were all mentioned by Chris Wilder as players that should be available, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Ricky Holmes and James Wilson, obviously, two players that we brought in January, haven't really made an impact just yet. But I think Ricky Holmes has definitely got that flair, which David Brooks also brings. He's got a really good set piece, which we've been dying for. We don't really have a definite set piece taker. So I think Ricky Holmes brings that to us, but it's just whether he'll be on the pitch. I don't think Ricky Holmes will see minutes against Fulham, if I'm being quite honest, because it'll mean dropping Mark Duffy or maybe dropping one of the strikers, which I can't see happening, with Mark Duffy being one of our key players. But James Wilson could definitely get some game time, because I might be incorrect, but I'm sure he's got a clause with his loan deal from Manchester United that if we don't play him X amount of games, that we have to pay some sum of money at the end of the season. So he might definitely get a start. But yeah, back to David Brooks. If Yep. David Brooks can get some minutes on the pitch. I don't see him starting the game at all, but last 25 minutes, 20 impact minutes sub. Of the game, he's one of the best impact subs in the division. And if we can get him on the pitch and if he can get running, he's a nightmare for any defenders.
Okay, now let's look at the flip side of this. I was watching an interview with Chris Wilder, and he was being very coy about two players that are doubts for the match. And I think he said facing fitness tests. I could be wrong about that. Maybe you can correct me on that, Lewis. But I believe there are two. And he wouldn't name the two. But there are two players that had to go off on the ready match. So could it possibly be these two players he's talking about, which is interesting that he won't name them. They happen to be Leon Clark and your goalkeeper. Do you think these are the two players that he's talking about?
Yeah, well, they're obviously the two players what he's probably talking about. They're the two players that went off injured, and the only other injured players we had was Brooks, Holmes, and Wilson. That obviously he's already said are in contention. The other player being Kieran Freeman,
right,
who's been injured, but he just started for the under-23s today. So he won't be
a part of this.
Yeah, he's definitely fit. Whether he'll be on the bench, we'll see. But right. Yeah, he's playing football, and he might be ready whether Wilder wants to take the risk on him.
Sure.
But I definitely think it will be Leon. Obviously, he doesn't want to set to the press that Leon Clark's not going to be playing with him. Our leading top goal scorer.
Right.
You don't want. He's not going to be giving that away, but. With Blackman, I don't think Blackman will be as big of a miss. We do have Simon Moore obviously came on for Blackman, saved a penalty, and had a really good game after coming on. But yeah, Blackman's definitely the number one. The guy's a giant, and he's definitely there was a bit of speculation around him at the start of the season. On whether we should be starting Simon Moore or Jamal Blackman, but I think the past couple of games, he's made some spectacular saves, Blackman, and I think people are coming to love Blackman a bit now. So yeah, those two are definitely the players which I think he's on about, unless there's been some other players that are injured during the week. I'm not sure, but yeah, those are probably the two players.
Okay, fantastic. All right. What I want to do right now, as we're getting into this and to learn more about your team heading into this match, I'm going to go to whoscored.com and read what they have to say as your strengths and weaknesses, and if they match up with what you think are Sheffield United's strengths and weaknesses. So let's start with strengths, and then I'll get your thoughts, and then we'll go to the weaknesses. There's only one weakness, which is very interesting, because usually there are more than a few. There's only one listed from whoscored.com. But here are the strengths. Attacking down the wings, very strong. Creating chances using through balls, very strong. And defending set pieces, also very strong. Strong at creating long shot opportunities and finishing scoring chances. Those two are strong. Would you say that whoscored.com got this right with your strengths, or are there other strengths that you would list as well?
I'd say 75% of that's right. I think attacking down the wings, spot on. Playing direct through balls, it's spot on. Finishing chances, maybe at the start of the season, that's a tick for us. But more recently, Leon Clark, he's on 15 league goals, but I'm sure he hasn't scored in the past 11, 12 games. And that's not because he hasn't been given the chances. He just hasn't been taking them. Yep. And that's been a big issue why we've dropped in form, because we've been creating loads of chances, but our strikers just simply haven't been finishing them. The big one for me, which they've missed off that, is squad fitness. I think that's the biggest part of our game. We've probably got, from what I've seen, the fittest squad in the league. I don't know what Wilder has them doing in training, but we've got a team of engines. And I don't know if you remember or you watched the end of the game, but against Fulham,
yeah.
When that final, because I think there was something insane, like 8 minutes added time or 6 minutes.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, there was something insane. And when that final whistle blew, it was amazing. Just all the Fulham, like 10 of the Fulham fans and players, sorry, just dropped to the floor in exhaustion.
I saw that.
But the Blades, they just came over to the fans distraught that they didn't get anything from the game. And I think that's definitely something to look into the game on whether that we can get something is our fitness, will our players be able to withstand the game? And if we're both giving it each other at 100%, will we be able to be the fitter side, which I think we are?
Well, that's very interesting, because I always see Fulham as being an extremely fit side, and they have proven that over the course of the season. But it's funny you mentioned that, because I remember watching at the very end, you just brought up a good point, because players were dropping for Fulham. They were exhausted. They gave it everything that they had. I didn't notice, obviously, the Sheffield United players. Obviously, you did. So that's telling. But again, that was back in November. Let's see where these teams are fitness-wise. I think Fulham's fitness is actually fairly strong, because we do close out matches now really well. And we score a lot of late goals, because I think we take advantage of teams with our fitness. So that's very interesting that you say that, Lewis.
It's definitely interesting to see whether you've got fitter to match us on that aspect of the game.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, that would be real good.
That's an interesting take, because I wasn't thinking that you were going to say that, because I always think of Fulham as being one of the fittest teams. And you bring up a very good point that I was not aware of from that first time that we played each other. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But I do know that Fulham are in fairly decent shape, very good shape, I think. I shouldn't say fairly decent. All right. It only lists one weakness. It says just avoiding offside, very weak. So would you agree with that? Are there any other weaknesses?
I would definitely agree with offside. Just a rough estimate, but I would guess that Leon Clark is probably offside six plus times every match. And I don't know why that is. I don't know whether we're getting scripted lineups every week in, week out. But Leon Clark is offside way too much. And that's a flaw in his game, which he definitely needs to work on. Yeah. But whether there's time for him to work on with his age. But I totally agree with that. The only other liability I can think of is getting hit on the counter-attack. Okay. We're really dreadful for it. And I think that's...
Which we did against you.
Yeah, that's a liability of us playing such high-press attacking football, because with our system, we have Chris Basham and Jack O'Connell, our left and right centre-backs, constantly overlapping our full-backs, charging up the field, which it leaves us with one defender at the back for the majority of the game. So we are a liability to be hit on the counter-attack, which is a weakness, but obviously... We create a lot more goals from playing the system, so it evens it out, I'd say, but yeah.
Okay, that's very interesting, because that's going to lead me to ask you what you think Chris Wilder's strategy is going to be. Will he change things up at Craven Cottage? Will he play any differently? It doesn't sound like he will, Lewis.
No, I think maybe if the whole game was before this fixture against Fulham, or maybe if we'd have played at Burton, he might have changed something up. But following such a great team performance against Reading, I don't think he can change it, because we played so well against Reading. You kind of need to just move on to the next game and play the same, because it was so good. But my only thing which may think he might change is going back to your midfield three. Against Reading, we played Evans and Fleck in midfield with Mark Duffy as the number 10. And I don't know whether that will work against your midfield three. Maybe we'll have to suffer a striker, or maybe Mark Duffy, and have to play Ryan Leonard and put that extra man in midfield so we can try and counter your midfield three. But yeah, I do think it'll just be the same old Wilder tactics, really. Just constantly trying to press and outrun the opposition. But one thing, we just need to get our strikers into the game more. We need to get that ball to Leon Clark. We need to get that ball to Billy Sharp if they're both starting. And because if you get that ball to, especially Billy Sharp in the box, he might not be the most agile, athletic forward on planet Earth, but if you get that ball to him in the box, he's going to finish 9 times out of 10. And that's what against Fulham, we need to be taking our chances.
Totally agree with that, Lewis. Could not agree more, because I think if you don't, we're going to win this match. If you cannot execute, if you cannot take advantage of your opportunities, I think Fulham have a very good chance of winning this match. All right, let's now look at from a Fulham perspective. If you were Fulham head coach Slavisa Jokanović, you probably don't want to be, but if you were, what would be your strategy against Sheffield United? How would you beat your team?
See, it's a real strange one, because on our day, we're one of the toughest systems to break down, and we've shown that consistently throughout the year, because everyone thought that we got found out when we lost Coots, so we had to change up the system, but we haven't changed up the system, and we're still getting results, and people haven't found us out. We're still bringing it. So I honestly don't know how you play against us, because in games where we've lost, you've seen teams such as QPR who have sat back, let us come at them. We've just charged at them with everything we've got. We've not taken our chances. And then, like I said, when Basham and O'Connell are out of position, have counter-attacked us, and they've got the rewards from it. But then you've got other teams like Wolves, which have dominated the ball. They've just not let us have a touch of it at all. Pressed us as hard as we're pressing them. And they've got the rewards from like players like Stearman having a little mishap in defence. So if I was Jukanović, they've got the players to be able to press us. Yep. You've got the players to be able to press us as hard as we're going to press you. So I don't want to see you sit back, and I don't think you should sit back, because with us coming from such a good result against Reading, we're going to be ready. We want to build on. We're going to take our chances. So I definitely think Jukanović should press us as hard as possible. Maybe if he really wants to dominate the game, instead of playing more of a 4-3-3, a 4-5-1, have the wingers sit a bit further back and do kind of what Wolves did and just dominate that midfield with a five man. I think that would also work. But yeah, it's gonna be a really tight game and it's gonna be one to watch. Like, why is it not on telly? Because
I totally agree. I think this is gonna be a fascinating matchup, because just going back to watch that match today just blew me away how entertaining it was. Knowing the result, I could obviously feel a little better about it now. Yeah. But then I could also see the flaws from both teams. We've already talked about that. But when you talk about sitting back, we're not going to sit back. You talk about dominating the ball. Fulham are going to try to dominate the ball, because that's what Fulham do. So I think that's going to play into both teams' hands. I think you want to play a certain way. We want to play a certain way. And we're going to see who wins that battle. And if you're asking me, I think the key part of the match is going to be in the midfield. I think it's going to come down to our midfield three. Can we boss the game? If we do, I think Fulham have a very good chance of winning the match. Would you agree with that?
I definitely agree. I think that midfield three, obviously, Kevin McDonald in that midfield three definitely doesn't get as much credit.
He's my player of the season last year.
Obviously, me being a Sheffield United fan, I know how good Kevin McDonald is. We had him, we lost him to Wolves after having two seasons of him in the League One where he was just outstanding. The guy never loses the ball. He's the most consistent player. He's always giving you an 8.5 out of 10. And I think he doesn't get enough credit because of how explosive and attacking Johansson and Kearney can be on their day. They're the boys that are creating.
But Lewis, he's a leader. He's a true leader back there.
Yeah, I agree. He pushes the team forward. He's the one to step up when your team's low. He's the one to slap people on the heads. Come on. And he's the one that's going to... He'll be the one that decides whether you get 3 points or not for me. Definitely.
Okay. Well, we're already talking about players. You've already mentioned several. What players concern you the most in this match from a Sheffield United perspective from Fulham? Who are you worried about?
Yeah, obviously, as your midfield three, obviously, that's the main one. Obviously,
are you concerned about Mitrovic?
That's what I'm getting onto. I've got Sessegnon, obviously, you can't discredit him on what he's done. But yeah, the main man for me that I'm worried about is Mitrovic. Obviously,
he's really changed how we play. Well, we're still playing similar, but he gives us that focal point, which just takes our game to a different level. It's just different.
Yeah. He had shades of greatness at Newcastle.
Yeah.
Where he was on his day unplayable, but then he obviously had that Diego Costa side to him where he can get a bit too aggressive on occasion. And obviously, dropping down to the Championship, I didn't really know what to expect. But sitting down and watching the Wolves game, the way he had Wolves' bolly in his back pocket for the entire game, he was rolling him, and Bolly just couldn't get the better of him all game. Yep. And that worries me, because I know if it's going to be a match of Mitrovic versus Stearman...
I like my chances.
Ah, yeah. Mitrovic is going to win that battle all day long, which the most likely thing what will happen is we'll bring Jack O'Connell over to yep. take Mitrovic out of the game, which will be a much fairer battle for Mitrovic anyway. But, yeah. And I'm really worried about Mitrovic, because I look back at the Wolves game and where there was the Leon Clark versus Bolly situation. And when Bolly got home after that game, he looked into his back pocket and Leon Clark was still there. And that's what Mitrovic didn't allow him. He had no space. And that's what worries me, especially if we're going to be playing Richard Stearman, as good as he has been for us at times this season, and as consistent he's been on those one-on-one duels, he's definitely got a mistake in him. And even if Mitrovic doesn't get the better of him throughout the game, there's always that slight thing of Stearman's probably going to snap him in the box. And we're just going to be sat, where both of us are going to be sat there, like, why did you just do that? But we both know Richard Stearman's got it in him.
Yeah. Listen, I wish the best for Richard Stearman. He is a good man. And he just wasn't a good fit for Fulham, and I'm glad that he's working out at Sheffield United. But I also know his weaknesses, and I also know a little bit about Alexander Mitrovic's time at Fulham, and I could just see him taking advantage of Stearman. That's why I wanted to ask you about Mitrovic, because what he's been doing lately, you talked about the Wolves match. I can now go forward and tell you what he did against Keogh and Davis. He did a similar number on them, scored a goal, but he was so dangerous, and he gets his teammates involved. And that's what's so great about him. It's not just about him scoring goals. It's what he does to affect the game, to affect his teammates. And that's what's very good about him, because now he gives us that, like I mentioned earlier, focal point that we just didn't have. We haven't had since Chris Martin. And it kind of just changes how we play a little bit, instead of playing the ball out from the back the way that Fulham have been doing a great deal. We'll still try to do that, but now we can just kick it to Mitrovic. And that gives us a completely different option, a way when teams press us, now we can do that. So that kind of takes that away a little bit. So Mitrovic has, like I said, changed slightly how Fulham are playing for the better. And that's why I wanted to ask you about him. That makes perfect sense, my friend. Okay, let's now go to your starting 11. I want you to predict your starting 11. We know that there are a couple doubts, but what do you think will be the starting 11?
I personally think it'll just be the bang same what we played against Reading. Either Blackman or Moore in goal. If Blackman's fit, Blackman's in. Then you have a back three of Basham, Stearman and O'Connell. Wing-backs Baldock and Ender Stevens, with a midfield two of John Fleck, Lee Evans, and then Mark Duffy as that number 10 roaming playmaker with Sharp and...
I like him as a player, by the way.
Yeah. Mark Duffy's an incredible footballer. And yeah, up front, Billy Sharp and Leon Clark, if Leon Clark's fit. The only things I can see Wilder changing is maybe either dropping one of the strikers or Mark Duffy to play Ryan Leonard in midfield to give a bit more legs. He'll be able to do a lot of running in that midfield to chase the likes of Kearney and Johansson.
Okay.
But yeah, if Clark's fit, I see him starting. And as much as he has had a dip in form, the performances are still there. The effort is still there. And it's obvious Wilder still highly rates him and likes him, because with Billy Sharp previously falling out of favour in the team, it was Leon Clark who picked up the armband and was our captain for several games.
What's interesting about Clark is that I was watching him matches before our teams played, and he was extremely influential scoring goals like he did against Fulham, and I was fearful going into the match, and he proved me right to be fearful, because he's a dangerous player, and Chris Wilder has gotten the most out of him. So I want to give credit to Leon Clark, but also to your manager, because he really has played to his strengths, and he is a very good player right now. And if he's not fit to play, that's fine by me. You know, I'm a Fulham supporter. It's fine by me, yeah. But But I understand, obviously, he's a very dangerous player. So I understand why you're picking him, and we'll see what happens. All right. It's time for predictions. I'm going to give my prediction after you give your prediction. Now, I just want to mention you and I were talking off air, and I saw your Twitter account. So you're feeling pretty confident. You have a good team. You're coming off of a good victory, and you should feel confident. So what is your prediction for this match?
Yeah, I am feeling confident. Reasoning behind that is, obviously, we've just come off an amazing... Obviously, Reading aren't the greatest team in the division. They're quite low down, but just watching how we performed, and it was an amazing performance. And as well, it's got to be a major factor, is you played at the weekend and we didn't. And when we go back to that fitness, we've had a week off. You've had 4 days. Yep. So we've definitely got the advantage going into the game. And I think with how attacking we both play, it's going to go into the last minutes of the game, kind of like it did in the last game where we nearly got that fifth goal and scavenged a point, which we probably didn't deserve, but we nearly did anyhow. But yeah, if I was going to put a score line,
yep,
I would probably say a score draw, a 2-2. But okay, I think if David Brooks gets on the pitch for the last 20 minutes, I'd be really confident that we were to able to steal a late winner.
Okay. Very interesting. Okay, my friend, my prediction, I generally go for a prediction of 3-1 for Fulham because I don't like a close match. That's part of the reason why I normally pick 3-1. But this is a respect factor for Sheffield United. I'm going to go with a Fulham victory because I think Fulham are going to win this match. I think it's going to be difficult. I think it's going to be a nail-biter. I'm not going to go 5-4. I'm not going to do something like that. But I'm going to say 2-1.
6-5 this time.
6-5. Who knows? But I'm going to say 2-1 because I think both teams have learned from that match, and I don't think we're going to see a huge amount of goals. I think you're going to see a good amount of attacking play. I think you're going to see an exciting brand of football from both teams. And I think it's really going to come down to the end, like you said. And you have those extra days. So that is a factor here. But I just like what's been going on with Fulham, what they've been building. And I feel strong that they can get this victory. But I know it's not going to be easy. All three possibilities are obviously on the table here. You could very easily win. It could be a draw, or Fulham can win. But as a Fulham fan, I have to go with a Fulham win here. So I'm going to say 2-1. All right. Lewis, I really enjoyed our conversation today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, no worries. I've enjoyed it real too.
Okay. Well, before we go, just want you to share and tell everyone how they can follow you on Twitter if they want your view of this match.
Yes, so you can follow me on Twitter @_LH9_, where you'll be able to find my blog, LH9 Sport, and where I just basically talk everything Sheffield United, and you'll be able to see my take on the match afterwards.
Okay, excellent there. Lewis, it's been a pleasure having you on. I do want to mention one thing. Cottage Talk actually had a contest that we ran last week to win 2 tickets to this upcoming match. And I want to share who the winner is. His name is Liam McLaughlin. And I hope I'm saying your last name correctly. If I'm not, I apologize. But he won 2 tickets to this upcoming match. And Liam, I hope you have a great time. I hope you see a Fulham win. All right, Lewis, again, thank you very much for joining me. But it is time to go. For my guest, Lewis Hobbs, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.